Donna Carter, and you're listening to Grow on the Go. And we are continuing in our summer book club series. Summer is such a great time to just, you know, lay back a bit and read a good book. You might not be able to go to the lake this year, but you can still enjoy a good book in the sun or the shade, whatever you prefer. Today, with me all the way from Salinas, Ecuador, is my dear friend, Karen Taylor. Welcome, Karen.
Hey, Donna, all the way from Salinas. That sounds so exotic, and it really isn't. But hi, it's good to be here.
I don't know. It sounds pretty exotic to me. You're in walking distance of a beach. That sounds pretty great.
It is, except it's closed right now because of the whole COVID thing. So although right. It's there, it's so close, and yet still so far.
So far. Ecuador has really been hammered in some locations. I realize that where you are isn't quite so bad.
No. Where we are, thankfully, has been pretty good. The government made some pretty tough decisions early on, and we had a brutal lockdown policy and procedure, which, in hindsight,
you were not quarantine. You had a, what's it called?
Curfew.
Yes, curfew. Was it 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a while?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, yes.
So from 2 to 6 a.m.?
From 2 to 5, yes.
Okay.
We were not allowed outside of our homes, which I didn't really get, and I still don't really get. But the comment often is, well, apparently the virus comes out at 2 p.m., and so that's why we all have to be in our houses. But anyway, it was, yeah. But you know what? All that to say, Donna, we have our numbers are definitely, we are on the downslide now. I just recently saw a graph where, compared to our other Latin American neighbors, we are definitely we're heading in the right direction. And so for that, I am so grateful to
right.
God and to our government for making the tough decisions
right.
early on to crack down. So
we've really opened up our economy quite a bit. I'm sure you're keeping track of what's happening in Calgary, but we are on the rise again. So I don't know how long we're going to be able to, you know, continue this. I think the strategy right now is to just monitor it and make sure that we're not overwhelming the healthcare system.
Right.
But kind of let nature take its course to some degree. But who knows? They may be shutting some things down again. I hope that doesn't happen for the sake of the business owners.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So you were having a few technical challenges this morning?
That in addition to one of our street doggies has a tumor, so we were giving him chemotherapy, which sounds so much worse than what it actually is here. So that he's been throwing up, and so
aww.
I was trying to get him to eat. He needs to take his medication, and anyway, it's just been kind of one of those mornings. And then technical issues.
I love what you said. We only had a very short chat before we started this, started recording, but you said to err as human, to really mess up, you have to have a computer.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me last time I tried to podcast. So we just finished resurfacing our ceilings, which was so much more of a nightmare than I thought it was going to be. We had those awful popcorn ceilings that I've hated for years, and we got all that scraped off and a much flatter surface. But because our old blanket fort, my home studio, used to hang on a frame from the ceiling, my husband didn't want to mess up our brand new ceilings. So he devised a system of connecting the blanket fort to the walls of my studio, which, as my listeners know, also is my art studio. So this is a multi-purpose room. Anyway, so we set it all up. It looked great. It's super hot here, well, for Calgary. And so my husband actually closed the door, all the doors upstairs, so that the air conditioner could, or we have this little portable air conditioner, could do a good job of cooling the space he was working in. So I went to set up my Zoom meeting, and suddenly I was locked out. I couldn't get into Zoom. And this is like 5 minutes before I have a guest booked.
No.
And so I'm struggling, and I'm able to get a hold of him on the phone, and I get his password, and eventually we figure out how we can get back in. I had to do it through Google, yada, yada. Anyway, I'm all set to go. So I bring my computer upstairs. I open the door to my little studio, and the entire frame for the blanket fort, including all the blankets, is now sort of on the floor, sort of hanging from the wall. Like, I have to climb through this frame to get in. And so now I'm madly, you know, taking blankets off the frame and hanging them from everything I can find in the room to act as a sound absorber. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, I can relate to technical issues. And I have this theory that everything that can go, this is Mrs. Murphy's law. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong when Mr. Murphy is away.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my.
Anyway. Well, let's just pray that doesn't happen during our chat. Cause Donna, I am so excited about talking to you about this book.
Okay. Well, tell me what the book is and what led you to pick it up.
Okay, so it is The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, which is just a like classic Christian reading, right? Like everybody
it's so true.
Who,
like almost anything you read in Christian literature quotes C.S. Lewis. And one day I just thought, you know, I might as well just, you know, skip the middleman and go right to C.S. Lewis's books.
Well, like you, exactly. Every time you read, oh, quoting C.S. Lewis, and oh, have you read the Screwtape Letters? And I was just feeling like less a Christian because I hadn't read it. Not true, but you know what I mean. And so anyway, I'd heard about it from tons of friends and different people and sermons, and but I just never had an opportunity or just didn't take the opportunity to read it. Then I am in this little book exchange in Salinas, Ecuador, and there's these English books, which are hard to get a hold of. Like, you can't just go into a bookstore and buy an English book. And so
right.
Some ladies in our neighborhood started up this book exchange, and everybody brought the books that they'd already read and started up this book exchange. And there it was. The oldest copy. I'm convinced, Donna, this is like, it's got to be a first edition. The pages are yellowed, and it is a well-loved, well-read book. And as soon as I saw it, I just went, oh, well, there you go. I've just heard oh so clearly from God, I must get this book. And I did. And I tell you what, it just was life-changing.
Wow.
Like, it was so profound. It was weird, though. I have to say, it took a really long time for me. I'm not so bright on the uptake, but it took a while for me to be able to do that paradigm shift, because when the Screwtape Letters are written by, for those your listeners who aren't familiar with it, it's written as
a demon.
A mentor, a demon who's mentoring his nephew, Wormwood. I love the names. The names are just crazy. There's Wormwood, there's Trip Tweez, Slubgob, who knows? Like, they're just really crazy. And of course, Screwtape. Uncle Screwtape is the experienced elder demon who is mentoring his nephew. And so when the book refers to the enemy, because it's coming from the perspective of a demon, the enemy actually means God. And he refers to the devil, which is his boss, as the father below. And so it really
you know,
you've
did. You've got to wonder, like, you really want to get a look into the side, the mind of C.S. Lewis, that he would come up with this idea. Although he also wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. So that there was an active imagination going on in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, but it really did take me a while to kind of do that paradigm shift. But so initially it was difficult to get into because I'm like, okay, I read the words the enemy and then I have to think, no, they're not talking about the enemy as we would think of the enemy. Right. They're actually referring to God. So it took some getting into, but I'm so glad I persevered and reread it actually a couple of times. And it just, okay, let me give you, this is the very beginning. Kind of the synopsis of the book, and I can't do it justice like C.S. Lewis did. So I'm just going to read you the first paragraph of the sort of the introduction.
Okay.
As to what the book is about. It says, "Nothing is as helpful to a young man's career as the advice of an experienced elder. The Screwtape Letters is a treasure of such wisdom as it was penned to young Tempter Wormwood, by his worldly wise old devil of an uncle, Screwtape. Anxious Uncle Screwtape's brisk business-like letters are full of fiendishly clever advice on the capture of this or any man. After all, Screwtape knows a great, great deal about men and women and about the ways of the enemy." So, yeah, and then each chapter is a different letter to his nephew that's just learning how to be a tempter of people, and they refer to the person that Wormwood, who has been, he's been, assigned, the patient, and it just talks about how he gets in there and works his fiendish strategies. Mm.
I have to confess, I started this book once, but I had a really hard time getting into it. And maybe it was what you referred to, the getting straight in your head who the good guys are.
Yes. And the language is, not going to lie, I really had to struggle through it because it is difficult to, some of the, just the way that it's spoken about. I mean, it was written back, I'm just now trying to find it, but I mean, it was written a while ago.
Probably the 30s or 40s, I'm guessing.
1941.
Okay.
And C.S. Lewis is... from the UK, he's English, and so I even know just in listening and reading things from Nikki Gumbel that his language is often, you know, what does he mean? What, you know, it's just different. It's different mm-hmm. English. Yeah, it is English, it's but it's different.
I just finished reading a couple of English novels, and I had to keep looking up words because there are words in the English language that we just don't use in Canada or in the United States. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so can you kind of summarize the book in a paragraph?
That sort of is the... That paragraph that I read, I really can't do it any more justice.
So
than that,
does each letter kind of deal with a different way to tempt people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So he goes through different, one chapter, for example, and this honestly was the most impactful chapter for me because it just really spoke to what I was kind of going through but anyway, it was a chapter on communication. Screwtape tells his nephew, you know, when your patient, meaning the man, is communicating, and by the way, the patient just became a Christian, new into, like, I think chapter 2 of the book.
Okay.
And so Wormwood is learning from Uncle Screwtape how to, you know, basically Wormwood has screwed up because he allowed the patient to become a Christian. So Uncle Screwtape is not a nice guy. Well, he's the devil. So I guess that explains that. But he's really nasty towards his nephew. Like, there's no loving. It's amazing, really, how the book is written. But anyway, so he's giving him a hard time about, you know, way to go, and now your patient has become a Christian. But don't worry, all is not lost. Here are some strategies that you can use. And one of the things was in communication. And it was really, really impactful for me because I recognized through this chapter how the enemy, and by the enemy I mean Satan and his wiles, how he gets in there and can completely divide. And I'll use an example of my sister and I, whom I live with, and we do life together, and we are each other's significant other, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we just had a terrible way of communicating. And she and I are polar opposites when it comes to communication. And we've known that all our life, but it's just, we just never could kind of get on the same page. And through this chapter, I realized, like, for example, Jackie would say something, usually innocently, but I would take it as, oh, she's being critical of what I've just done or said or whatever. And so instantly my defenses go up and right. I respond disrespectfully, which I know she hates. Just like, my sister is just so respectful and she would never, you know, speak disrespectfully. So when I speak disrespectfully to her, she really doesn't like it. And of course, I know that. And so for me, that's me pushing a button, right? But,
right.
but I'm justified because she just completely criticized me, or so I thought. And so the next thing you know, we have this full-blown fight over something that started off innocently. And usually by the end of it, we don't even know what we're fighting about. We just know that we're really mad at the other person.
I just have to say, yeah. Karen, to a single lady who's never been married, welcome to marriage. That is, Randy and I find ourselves in that conundrum all the time. We'll have to chat later about what we've figured out how to deal with that.
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter what relationship it is. That is how the enemy gets in there and mm-hmm. uses tone of voice, oftentimes body language. It doesn't even need to be meant in a disrespectful or in a tone, but it's how the other person perceives it.
Absolutely.
And so through this whole quarantine, Donna, honestly, and also through just remembering, because after we have these blowout fights, right, I can just picture my own little wormwood sitting on my shoulder, because that's where they sit, right?
Snickering at you.
Yeah. Snickering, rubbing his hands, going, ha ha, I did it again. And so through this whole quarantine thing, and trust me, being quarantined from 2 p.m. until the next day in your home, we do not have a big place. We were together a lot. And God really used this opportunity, Donna, to prune us, to correct us, to teach us. It has been the best of times and the worst of times.
And I think a lot of people are finding that they've been able to kind of affect a bit of a course correction during this time. It's had us reflecting more.
So. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I had a non-Christian friend say to me, one day she says, if I don't come out of this a better person, then shame on me. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, and I don't know about what it's like in Canada, and because you're your quarantine or your lockdown has looked very different than ours. Like mm-hmm. we have been sequestered. We were not allowed to be out of the house. Even if we could go out, Donna, nothing was opened. It was a ghost town here. So nobody left their homes. And I witnessed kind of people going to one of two camps. Either they spent their entire days and nights binge watching everything on Netflix they could get their hands on, or doing quilting or painting. And these are all fine things. Like, they're okay, right? It's, mm-hmm. but, and sadly, some just spent their time trying to invent the cocktail of the day. And, you know, they just spent their time really being locked up and not using their time in the best way, shall we say.
Okay.
Or, so there was that camp that was just literally going crazy. Like, if I don't do something, I'm going to go nuts. Mm-hmm. And then there was those on the other side of the fence, if you will, those that said, you know what, I am going to take this time. I'm going to read more. I'm going to study more. I'm going to learn Spanish better. I'm going to help my neighbors more. I'm going to, and they, it was sort of this line, one that just was wallowing in, sort of, I'm going crazy. There's nothing to do. I'm just wasting my time. And then there was the other camp that said, no, I'm going to take this gift, because it really is. It has been. It's mm-hmm. been a gift for us. It's been just an incredible gift to be able to, number one, learn how to communicate properly. After all these years, we finally have learned how to communicate properly. And we've studied more, and we've prayed more, and we've just spent more time, yes, using social media, but to connect more with friends and family. And it's just been a blessing beyond anything I could even hope or imagine. And I do pray, as you've said, Donna, so many people have taken the time to just reflect more and say, you know what, God, really, is this all that life is? Like, everything's been taken away from us. Our 401k or whatever the Canadian version. We live with a lot of Americans around, so I kind of speak Americanese now.
Well, that's okay. We have American listeners, so it's all good.
Yes, good. So, you know, their retirement fund has dwindled to nothing. You know, so many people have lost their jobs. So many people have lost their health and loved ones, and really, is this it? And I just pray, Donna, that God, well, I know He has used this time to mm-hmm. get a hold of the church in a greater way, and people.
He never wastes our pain. He'll redeem this in some way, for sure.
Yes.
So what permanent changes do you think there are going to be in your life as a result of this time, and as a result of the impact of this book during this time?
Well, definitely the way that Jackie and I communicate has been a permanent change. And trust me, we are not there yet, and we still have work to do, but it's been so much better. We recognize now, you know, okay, and we've even said to each other, boy, you know, the next morning we'll say, I apologize that, you know, I allowed the enemy to get in and can, you know, just completely turn that conversation around. And I apologize for that. And so we've seen that as a definite change. The other thing, Donna, that has really impacted me is my perception of people when they offend me. Mm. Because people will offend you. Some it's intentionally, and some it's not. But now, instead of looking at it as, oh, I can't believe what Jane said, you know, do you believe that? Whatever, I'm so offended by that. Instead of blaming Jane, I blame her wormwood now. Mm. And I look at it as, you know what? That's not her talking, because A, if she's a friend, she wouldn't purposely want to hurt me. I know that she wouldn't purposely want to hurt me, but what she said did hurt me. And if it's something big enough, then I would go to her and say, you know, when you said this, you just have to know, as my friend, I know you wouldn't want to hurt me, but when you said this, it actually did kind of hurt. Mm-hmm. Giving her the opportunity to ask for forgiveness or to apologize or whatever. And if she isn't a friend, then it doesn't matter to me. She can't hurt me, because it wasn't her that was lashing out. It was the wormwood in her. And so I've kind of not become unoffensible or
offendable.
Offendable, because I'm still offensive. Offendable, that's the word. It's not that you can't offend me, but I'm working on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I just want to say to our listeners, we don't have a lot of time left, about a minute. This is not a thick book. If you're intrigued by this book, get your hands on it. I bet you can find it in a used bookstore, certainly on Amazon or whatever. It's not a thick book at all. What would it take, Karen, an hour to read?
Oh, well, if you're me, no, it takes a whole lot longer than that, because I have to keep putting it down. But it's only 160 pages long.
Okay.
And it's very big writing.
Okay, so there you go. So don't be discouraged, even though we've said it's a little hard to get into in a way. It could be the thing that really turns your relationships around, or something else in your life, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So Karen,
highly recommend it.
One last thought. Is there okay. anything that you just never want to forget? Or any other last thought you have about the book?
Well, you know, I guess the scripture that comes to mind that we have all read 100 times, it made it come to life for me. And that, of course, is Ephesians 6:12. And I love how the Amplified says it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, i.e. Jane, the Janes in our world. But our struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly spiritual places, supernatural places.
And that's a great place for us to end. Thank you so much for bringing this book to life for us, Karen, and for being with us.
Thank you for asking me to. It was wonderful.
I'm Donna Carter, and you're listening to Grow on the Go.
Thanks for listening to Grow on the Go. Share this episode on social media and find more great programs at faithstrongtoday.com.